We are in part two of the sermon series, Will You Conform or Stand? And I'll admit this one is a little heavy. But at the same point, God's prophets were delivering a similar message. That message that God's prophets delivered was a good one. It was, pay attention, I'm waking you up before judgment comes. So the prophets actually, as we look at them, preached a real fantastic, good message. It was tremendous, good message. But then when the Israelites didn't heed the word, then come the sermons, the prophecy that Israel did not want to hear. It was, okay, since you didn't pay attention, in comes judgment. And he would judge Israel. He usually did that by bringing in Assyria or Babylon. But God's not mocked. When he says something, we better pay attention to it. And we better be willing to answer it. And sometimes the answer that we give is not what God wants to hear. And when that's the case, then we know judgment's on the way. Will you conform or stand? You can sort of get the idea that there are two opposing views. If you conform, you can't be standing at the same time. If you're conforming, you are bowing to a certain way of life. If you're standing, you're steadfast on the principles that you're standing on. So will you conform or will you stand firm? Last week we talked about two different churches, not denominations, but two different churches. We first made our way to the Bible-believing church. Matter of fact, in the life of those who attend a Bible-believing church, what is the first source that you go to get what is right or what is wrong? What's the first source that you go to for discernment on any decision? It's the Bible. Why? It's the Word of God. It's the absolute truth. Now, in the world that we live in today, there's not a lot of absolutes. But there is one absolute we can always stand on. And it's this. Does God change? No. Never has. Never will. What God stood for here is the same thing God stands for back here. He does not change. He's consistent. If he ever changes, he then cannot be God. He does not change. What God hated in the early days is the same thing that God hates today and in the future. What God loved then, he loves today, he loves in the future. He is the standard. He is the absolute truth. The Bible-believing church believes in this. Not part of it, but all of it. As you make your way to the end of Revelation, specifically for Revelation, but you can take it, apply it to all of this, is God says, do not add to it, do not take away from it. It is the truth. The Bible-believing church looks at God's word and says, this is what we're going to stand on. Will standing on this prove to be difficult? Yes. It proves to be tough. It will be more difficult and more tough to stand on this with each passing day. Well, no, Pastor, I'm pretty solid. Well, praise God. But I'm going to tell you that as a Bible-believing church, you're going to experience times of tribulation. I think the times that we're living in right now are going to be a piece of cake compared to what's coming. And I think what's coming is coming really fast. The Bible-believing church is one type of church. The other type of church is the conforming church. It's the church that, now, please don't make up what you think I'm saying. Just because you have mega churches today does not mean they're evil. There's got to be something if there's that many people in that church. There are mega churches that are Bible-believing churches. Amen. Period. They preach this. That's great. They're reaching a lot of people. There's some mega churches, and by the way, some very small churches that are the conforming church. What's the conforming church? How does it conform? What's it conform to? It does not conform to this. It may have bits and pieces of this, but it doesn't stand entirely on this. They cave to government pressure and social pressure. I'll give you some examples. If a church, any size church, big one or little, teaches replacement theology, get out of that church. It's a conforming church. What it says is the church has replaced Israel in God's plan of redemption for mankind. It says that Israel messed up. The church steps in. God in his greatness decided, wow, I messed up. I thought Israel was going to handle this, but they couldn't. So I'm going to bring in a solution because I messed the plan up. The church is then supposed to take over what Israel was supposed to be doing. It's replacement theology. All I know is this. When you get to the back of the book, when you get back here at the end, it doesn't even talk about a church. It does still continue to talk about Israel. They're going to be there. They are still God's chosen ones to bring his plan of redemption to completion. If the church is preaching, any size church is preaching prosperity theology, get out. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? Don't you all like to prosper? Yeah. Sounds great. What prosperity theology teaches is, if you pray hard enough, and if you give enough money to the church, God looks at that and blesses it abundantly. And you can't outgive the Lord, so he's going to pour out more wealth on you than you can contain. There's just one problem with that. That's not what Scripture says. Scripture says that he will bless you from the abundant riches found in glory. That may be money, but more than likely, not. It's a wrong teaching. It's a wrong look at God's word. That's where we finished up last week. We didn't get a lot of scripture. We're hopefully going to get to some scripture today. It may be that we look at the message and we go, well, this is not really relevant to me. This is not something that really concerns me. I'm not sure that the pastor's not preaching doomsday. Well, I am preaching. If we don't pay attention, we could slip and fall. This doesn't concern me. I'm a solid Christian. So whatever Satan throws at me, I'm more than capable of standing on my principles. And what I would say to you is, praise God. But pay attention and know what Satan's going to throw at you. I'm an old Christian. I'm beyond being fazed by what's taking place today. What I see today isn't as bad as what you're preaching. You must think that everything is evil. I know that everything that's in the world is evil. See if this doesn't ring a bell. For some of you, it may take a while. Do you remember school? Do you remember any of the teachers that you had in elementary? Yeah, I do. And there was one unique thing about most of the teachers when I was in elementary. They did not hesitate to talk about Jesus Christ. Mrs. Gray prayed. She was the English and literature teacher. She prayed before class, and a lot of the literature that we had to read, this is in a public school, was this. The stories that she told us came out of here. We remember school. Do you remember when prayer went out of the school? Prayer went out. Do you remember when they took the Bible out of school? Because it's not there now. It's really funny though. The Bible's out of school. The Quran is in school. We live in a world today when the kid walks in to the elementary class and lets the teacher know, you will identify me as a girl, or you will refer to me as a boy, even though biologically they're not. That's what we're living in. We're living in a world where constitutional law is out, Sharia law is in. Do you know what that is? It's the law, the judicial law of the Islams. We're living in a world where congressional seats in both the House and Senate are sitting there with no absolutes. They do not have a foundation to stand on. They simply vote by how they feel or what the pressure of the day is. Those are found in the conforming church. That church is willing to accept what has just been mentioned. Let me share what I believe the biggest, and there's lots, but I see this one as the biggest issue that the churches of today face. In Jesus Christ, there is freedom. So I can feel pretty free about what I'm going to share now because it's of God. So I'm in complete freedom. If you don't like it, sorry, but it is God. The biggest issue I see that's coming to the church is the LGBTQIA. And it seems like every day they add a letter. The LGBTQIA is a complete offense to God. Amen. It's a slap in his face. He finds it disgusting. Saying that, we need to be very careful about what our views are in regards to the LGBTQIA. God loves them, but he hates the sin. He hates that sin, but he loves the sinner. Now, church, tell me what we're supposed to do. An acrostic is, in poetry, it's where they take the first letter of each line, and there's a message in just those first letters. Edgar Allan Poe had one, but each line started with a certain letter, and when you took those letters, it come up to Elizabeth. So his poem was about Elizabeth. Didn't let you know that, but that. So he took the first letter of something and he made a word with it. Well, the LGBTQIA is not necessarily something that we pronounce, but it is the first letter of what exactly it's talking about. L equals lesbian. G equals gay. B, bisexuals. T, transgender. Q, queer. I. Now, these last two are there now, but honestly, I didn't know what they were. I equals intersex, which means it's not clear whether they're a female or a male. Biologically, that does happen. A, asexual. They have a lack of interest in either sex. But you take all those words and you take the first letter and you come up with the LGBTQIAs. Now, we just made our way through June. We're in July now. But June is an interesting month. It may have come and gone and you just heard a few things that just went in one ear and out the other. But June was an interesting month for the fact that I find now that every month there's something that we're supposed to be honoring and paying attention to. June was Gay Pride Month. And then what's really fascinating is what we have done now is we have set aside an entire month that we focus and honor LGBTQIAs. An entire month. Now, we look at Halloween and go, oh, that can be a terrible one day. We've now set aside a complete month where we're honoring what God considers to be evil. If you're not in support of Gay Pride Month, you are titled a hater. You discriminate. You people must have something against gay people that you're not willing to honor their lifestyle. Well, it is against God's truth. If God hates the sin, so should you. If God loves the sinner, so should you. Is the LGBTQIA a perversion in sin? And the answer is, yeah, it is a perversion. And that's exactly how God sees it. Scripture also says that a perversion of sin is called adultery. But that one's not as bad as these other ones. In the eyes of God, it's a sin also. It's not as bad as drunkenness. Oh, yes, it is. What about cheating, lying, jealousy, and any other sin that you can think of? Is it an offense to God? Yes. Is it disgusting? Yes. Did you ever do any of them? Let me rephrase that. Did we all do some of those? Does God love you? How? He will have mercy on you. He has mercy on those he shows mercy to. You see, the LGBTQIA is sin. But then again, we did too. Aren't you happy that God loves you and forgives you? You did sin. It was an offense to God, but he still loves you. And he loves them. Hates the sin, but loves the sinner. I see that as the biggest social pressure we will face. So the next couple questions lead right in from what we've discussed. Two of them. Will you conform to this world? We've talked about the conforming church, but quite honestly, the church is made up of you. So will you conform to the world, to the government regulations or this social pressure? Will you conform? And the second question may be tougher yet. Will Leesville Faith Community Chapel become a conforming church? Actually, they're pretty tough questions, pretty easy answers. I mentioned last week, you have had two pastors, just two. 24 years, you've had two pastors. You've had two pastors, which is commendable. It's good on your part. Usually pastors come and go pretty quick. Both of them, as far as I know, preach the word. The good ones and the hard ones. So will Leesville Faith Community Chapel become a conforming church? Not under your previous pastor, and not under your present one either. There's only one absolute, and it's God. As long as Faith Community Chapel abides by the scripture, we will be the Bible-believing church. We will not cave to government regulations. We will not cave to social pressure. God says, one man, one woman, no LGBTQIA. It's one man, one woman. By the way, it's one man, one woman for ever. It's not one man with one woman, and then if he needs it, he can go get a little bit on the side. Doesn't mean that either, okay? Even though it's still a man and a woman, it's not what God has joined together. At some point in time, the pastor of this church will get sued by someone because of this. By the way, when the pastor gets sued, the church board will also be sued. And by the way, how many are members of this church? Your name's on the sheet. Not only will the pastor be sued and the board of directors sued, you will be sued also because you're members of this church. You are the church. So will you conform or will you stand firm? You do have another option. You can leave this church and go to a conforming church. There you won't be sued. But by the way, when you leave the church and you go to a conforming church, you're also leaving someone else. You're leaving God. You know, last week I brought up, well, there's government pressure and there's social pressure. They're all going to be coming against the church.
I thought, wow, God, you're really on the top of your game.
I found these two things this week. Since last week, started preaching this, these two things come up this week. I won't give you name. If you want to go look, you can find his name. But a Democrat congressman from California, in regards to the Catholic Church stopping communion against the President of the United States, we will not give him communion because of his view on abortion. Quote from this congressman, if they're going to politically weaponize religion by rebuking Democrats who support women's reproductive choice, then a rebuke of their tax-exempt status may be in order. Remember, I told you last week, it won't be long before the government steps in and says, you're going to do this, or we'll take away your tax-exempt status. We don't pay tax. But unless you follow government regulations, so now this congressman is saying if the church denies Democrats communion, we are going to rebuke their tax-exempt status. Funny, I was thinking, it seems to work the other way. It seems to work it. Oh, well, here's the church who's not going to let this happen. But, oh, by the way, government has the ability to impress on the churches what they're going to do and what not to do. That seems to be politically okay. The second one, California has banned state-funded travel to 5 new states over their discriminatory LGBTQ laws, especially for states who have laws banning transgenders from playing sports. There are 17 banned states. In California's view, there will be no state-funded travel to those states because they do not follow LGBTQ. Oh, by the way, there's a couple exceptions to that. If they are endeavoring to receive grant money, it's okay to travel there. Or if there's the state auditing a company there and they are in the ability or have the ability to collect money because of that audit, then it's okay to travel there. Those happened this week. Tell me what's taking place in the world. Will you conform to this world? Will Faith Community Chapel become a conforming church? Those are pretty reasonable questions. And I have some real good answers. What does God say is the best answer to either one of those questions? What does God say? Turn to the Old Testament. Leviticus chapter 20. Does God change? No. Whatever we read in the Old Testament, if God says this is the way it is in the Old Testament, it is still the same way in the New Testament, and it's still the same way today. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, you shall also say to the sons of Israel, any man from the sons of Israel or from the aliens, that say Gentiles there, sojourning in Israel, who gives any of his offspring to Moloch, shall surely be put to death. Moloch was a god, false god, an idol, shall surely be put to death. So whoever gives any of his offspring to Moloch shall surely be put to death. Anyone who gives his offspring to Moloch should surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. Moloch was a god that took baby sacrifice, infant sacrifice. And the children of Israel did this also. Some of them, not all of them, but they would take their infants and burn them. They would throw them in a trash heap and burn them. They would be killing these little babies. You realize in the United States, from abortion, there have been more death, infant deaths, than all that was lost in the Civil War. The biggest war, biggest battle the United States has ever been involved with. It's what they did way back in Leviticus. We're still doing it. Did God hate it then? Does he hate it now?
Yes.
Verse 3. I will also set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he has given some of the offspring to Moloch. So also to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. If the people of the land, however, should ever disregard that man when he gives any of his offspring to Moloch, so as not to put him to death, then I myself will set my face against that man and against his family, and I will cut off from among their people both him and all those who play the harlot after him by playing the harlot of Moloch. As for the person who turns to mediums and to spiritists to play the harlot after them, I will also set my face against that person, and I will cut him off from among his people. You shall consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my statutes and practice them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. If there is anyone who curses his father or his mother, he shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father and his mother. His blood guiltiness is upon him. If there is a man who commits adultery with another man's wife, one who commits adultery with his friend's wife, the adulterer and adulteress shall surely be put to death. That one come back to get him. When the Pharisees brought the woman caught in adultery before Jesus, they should have brought two of them. If there is a man who lies with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have committed incest. Their blood guiltness is upon them. If there is a man who lies with a male, as with those who lie with a woman, both of them have committed a detestable act. They shall surely be put to death. The blood guiltness is upon them. Drop down to verse 22. You are therefore to keep all my statutes and all my ordinances and do them so that the land to which I am bringing you to live will not spew you out. Moreover, you shall not follow the customs of the nation which I will drive out before you, for they did all these things, and therefore I have abhorred them. Hence I have said to you, you are to possess their land, and I myself will give it to you to possess it, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God who has separated you from the peoples. What do you think God thinks about in the day in which we live? When man lays with a man or a woman lays with a woman and all the detestable things that you find in the world today. If God does not change, he hates today what he hated back then. Now, none of those sins which are presented in Leviticus 20, by the way, not just Leviticus 20, are those sins forgivable? They're forgivable. God will extend grace to anyone who asks forgiveness and repents. God will give grace. But he does not look the other way and say, oh, that's a lifestyle. I'm okay with that. He's not okay with it. We use astrologers. We use
psychics. You realize some people make a living by guessing or telling you what you want to hear? They make a living by that. You count on them to give you information so that your luck will change. Is that against God? I can remember people when you got the Times Reporter. I know some of you still do, but there's people that could not wait to get back close to the comic section. Because it was funny, because here's Dear Abby, here's the Reverend Billy Graham, and here's your astrology. And you looked on there to see what was going to happen today, because this was the sign you were born under. God says that's detestable. Is dishonoring your parents detestable to God? Yep. If your parents are still living, they're still your parents. Are you still to show honor to them? Is it easy all the time? No. Seems the older you get. Of course, in my teenage years, teenagers are pretty tough on parents. But is that detestable to God? Yeah. Just like everything else in Leviticus 20. There's groups that's in Leviticus 20, and I only know how to sum it up this way. I don't know how I can put them all in that category. It's sexual sin. Perverted as it is, does God find it detestable when a man lays with a man? Yes. What about a woman with a woman? Yeah. Is it forgivable? Yeah. Why? Because God hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Well, the Old Testament's outdated. We don't need it anymore because we have the New Testament. Oh, I had a guy bring that up. We don't need the Old Testament because we got the New Testament and we live in the New Testament. And I asked him, I said, does that mean the Old Testament does not apply to us? Well, yeah, it applies. Do not kill. I guess that still applies. Why? God does not change. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 9. Remember, God does not change. What he hated in the Old Testament, he still hates in the New Testament. Verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Then comes the most fantastic thing out of this passage of Scripture. Do not miss it. He has just given us all the stuff that God says, that is terrible. That's disgusting. Then look at verse 11. Such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Now tell me about all this sin in 9 and 10 that Paul has just highlighted. You fornicators, idolaters, adulterers. Is that the same thing God hated in the Old Testament? It's the same thing. Look at verse 11. Such were some of you. That's an interesting phrase. Because what it tells me is they ain't that way anymore. That's the way you were. But it's not the way you are. Because something happened to you. And his name is Jesus. These people got out of that junk. They got out of that sin. Isn't that what it says? They're not doing it anymore. There is hope for the world in which we live in.
There is hope. You don't have to be stuck there. It's not something you have to cave to. A change can take place. Galatians chapter 5.
Galatians chapter 5, go to verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets against its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Will a practicing LGBTQIA inherit the kingdom of God? No. Will a practicing adulterer inherit the kingdom of God? No. God does not change. It's all detestable. He loves the person. He hates the sin. Let's make it real. How will Leesville Faith Community Chapel respond when a same-sex couple walks into our church? What will we do? Now be careful. I'm telling you what we will do. We will love them. Why? Because we are a Bible-believing church. If God loves them, we love them. Does he hate the sin? Yes. Do we hate the sin? Yes. But we love the person. If we have someone who walks into the church that's a liar, do we love them? Why? God loves them. Does he hate that sin? Is one sin bigger than the other one? No, it's all sin. God finds it all detestable. What if a person walks in that is envious of what you have? Do you say, there's the door? No. What do? You love them. Do you hate the sin of envy? Yeah. So what will we do when a same-sex couple walks into this church? At some point in time, most of you will still be here if the rapture doesn't happen. When it does, what will we do? We'll love them. Have I ever taught against adultery? Have I ever taught about lying? Envy? So when a homosexual couple walks into the church, am I going to never preach about what I've preached about now? I'm going to preach. Why? We're a Bible-believing church. Do they have the ability to change? No. They do not have the ability to change because they are living in the flesh. Just like were some of you. You lived in the flesh before you came to know Jesus. You're not living in the flesh now because of Jesus. He has changed you. Shouldn't they get the same mercy and grace that you received? They'll be taught. They'll make a decision whether they're going to stay and be loved or not. Well, Pastor, this sermon has really not been much value to me. I'm just going to tell you this. Tough days are coming. Each and every one of you will deal with this if you haven't. And if you're claiming to be a Christian, you're going to love that person. Do you hate the sin? Yeah, it's not what I stand for. God loves them. But God has a standard. It's only one standard. He never ever changes it because it is his standard. If you do not meet the standard, you will perish and spend eternity in hell. Yes? Yes. Because that's God's standard. But as the days get tougher, we need to remember a couple verses out of Romans. You know these. 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all. The LGBTQIAs. For all have sinned. And that means each and every one of us. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's the one who can make the change. Bible-believing church or conforming church, those are the two you will see in the future. There'll be a lot of people attending one of those, not so many the other. But freedom falls on the Bible-believing church.